Dairying. The area from Gerringong to Bomaderry, largely owned by the Berry family from around the 1820s until the early 20th century, was peppered with small-scale dairy farms during the early and middle years of that century. Dairying was the raison d'etre for Berry's original acquisition and, to a large extent, continues as the predominant industry in the region. With a subdivision of the Berry estate, dairy farmers and prospective dairy farmers purchased land across the district, from 5 acres at Broughton Village to 100 acres at Jasper's Brush, and began producing small quantities of milk, cream and cheese. At that time, milk was taken by sledge to the farm gate, and then by horse and cart to any number of small milk factories across the region, including at Gerringong, Toolajua, Foxground, Broughton Village, Jasper's Brush and Berry. Lily Toohey recalled,
"Well, it was all hand milking. The milk had to go into cans. They were 10 gallons. And they were taken on a slide down to the gate to the road for a horse and cart to pick them up to bring them in to the Berry factory. It was a butter factory then. And the milk was taken there to be treated."
After arriving on horse and cart to the Berry Milk Cooperative, some milk was sent to Sydney, as Gus Miller noted.
"The first milk to Sydney was all went in those factory cans, 10-gallon factory cans. They had to put them on the train. When they brought the railway through from Kiama down, and then picked the cans up the next day."
Bill Jorgensen tells of a prescient moment after starting work for the Bomaderry Dairy Farmers Milk Depot in 1948, when there were between 350 to 400 milk supplies.
"And I told him that Harry Saunders saw it. He said, 'Look, boy, one day there's going to be a big truck going around over the other side of the river there picking up milk with a tank on the back of it.' And he said there'll be about 12 farmers."
At that time, there was about 60 farmers there, and now there are only 12, as Harry predicted 60 years ago. Since then, the number of farms has declined dramatically. For instance, there were 76 farms at Milton, now 7. 76 in Kangaroo Valley, now 6. And only 4 remaining from Maru to Jasper's Brush, and none left in Cambawara. Through amalgamation, farms have also become larger, a fact attested to by Bill Jorgensen.
"There's more milk coming out of those farms than they get out of the 400. I'll just give you an example. They're here. There's one fellow down here milks 1,200 cows. They couldn't fit his milk in a big tanker for the one day. My son-in-law, when he took the farm over and told him his business about 10 or 12 cans a day, that was pretty good. It was a fair farm in those days. He's now getting 200 cans a milk a day. That's 10 gallon cans. And he loses about, around about, 9,000 litres. There's another one down there getting about 17,000 litres a day. They look about 700. And they're massive, they're big. And there's more milk coming out of an area than what they're involved in the big one. They all have to get bigger. When the deregulation came in, they said, 'Oh, you've got to have 12 cans of milk to survive. 12 cans of milk now is like a billy can full. It's going to survive on it.'"
The two most prominent factors that appear to have influenced changes to dairy farming in the area, and probably throughout New South Wales, were the introduction of the quota system in the 1950s and industry deregulation in 1991. As Colin Sharp explained,
"The quota system was to make sure that Sydney had a ample supply of milk. At times, Sydney, up till then, were short of milk, particularly in the winter time, where they just didn't have enough milk. And it meant that, they worked the best.
Well, actually rationed it. If you had children and babies, you could get milk every day, but others could only get milk every second day in the winter time, because it was more expensive for farmers to produce the milk in the winter time. So a lot of them let their production fall down in the winter time."
To overcome that unsatisfactory supply cycle, the government introduced a quota system, which meant farmers had to produce a certain amount of milk all year round, which meant there was no longer a fall of production in the wintertime. Farmers were given a yearly price. They could organise their finances and knew every month what their income was going to be.
that made a difference to breeding cattle too. People had to be more accurate with their breeding so that they had cattle calving right through the year to produce that winter milk. Whereas before, more springtime calving and going through the summer and the year, go down in the wintertime.
Colin Sharp also noted that industry deregulation, which was introduced in 1991, had a similar impact on dairy farmers.
It meant virtually that there were no state boundaries and milk could travel anywhere. And with Victoria being the biggest producer of milk, they were producing milk a lot cheaper than what we could at that time. It meant that the price of milk dropped dramatically, and it meant that the big producer, those who could produce a large amount of milk, were able to virtually stay in.
The years of known and regular income disappeared, and in Colin's words,
for quite a few years, the farmer, he was absolutely struggling.
Innovation has also been a feature of the dairy industry in the area. Bruce McIntosh divulged that in 1948, his father was involved in a group of fairly progressive farmers who formed the Better Farming League. The group promoted better farming practices and, according to Bruce,
even by today's standards, they were well advanced. They were skilled in pasture management and they improved thousands of acres of pasture around here by the methods that they indoctrinated to other farmers. They were responsible for introducing to the government of the day a proposal to establish an artificial breeding centre, and it was the first in Australia. And that came about because my father, he was chosen by the state government of the day to be one of six people selected to go to the UK with the Minister for Agriculture on a stud stock buying delegation to improve the standard of stud stock, not just cattle, horses, pigs, sheep, chooks. There were six of them went over, and my dad was one of them. That stud stock buying delegation still has the reputation of putting New South Wales on the map in terms of upgrading stud stock, and therefore the seed stock for all the broad commercial herds in New South Wales and beyond.
An artificial insemination centre established at Graham Park Berry was, according to Bruce McIntosh,
a very, very thriving and important aspect of cattle breeding in Australia.
Unfortunately, it appears that it suffered from mismanagement while other more commercially successful centres flourished throughout Australia, resulting in the centre's closure about 20 years ago. Bruce lamented that it
should have been one of the bad features of our local history here. It offered so much